good to be with you all this morning. I tremble a bit standing here, but I know that the Lord is with us. He's going to be with us. I was really blessed with that last song. Are we being faithful to God? Are we being faithful to God? Is God with us? I'll praise my Maker while I have breath. Are we praising God while we have breath? Before I get started this morning, I'd like to tell each one of you thank you for the big support and the blessing that you've been to us as a family. Put it away from your nose. There we go. The blessing and support that you all have been the last while with Jen's sickness, your prayers, text messages, meals, it's meant a lot. It's really meant a lot to us. And as I was thinking about just how God has been with us, you know, a couple Sundays ago, Matt was talking about the grace of God. And we have been experiencing the grace of God in our life, and even more so because of your prayers. Thank you all. Thank you. Jen is continuing to feel better, but she's not. She's on the road to recovery. She's improving, but she's not better yet. So we'd cover your prayers, your continued prayers with that. The burden on my heart this morning has just been coming from some of the things that we've been facing, the things we've been going through, hard, difficult times. You know, sometimes you ask the question, why? Why does God allow hard things to come into our life? Why does God allow difficult things to come? But I've been asking myself the question, what am I doing? What am I doing right now to be faithful to God? To serve God right where I'm at, right in the things that He's called me to be doing. And I've been really encouraged and inspired by the life of Joseph. Joseph, he had many very difficult things that came his way. And sometimes when it seemed like when there wasn't any hope to keep going, but somehow God was with him. God was with Joseph. You know, as I think of everyone in this room here this morning, we all have many different abilities and responsibilities, and we're all at different stages in life. We have youth here this morning, we have young couples, we have older families here. We're all at different stages in life, but each one of us plays an important role in the kingdom of God. And I like to inspire all of us to faithfulness where God has called us to be, being faithful to God through the hard trials that come our way. So why don't we just pray? Why don't we just bow for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, this morning, we come to you. We thank you that you are here with us. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would come as we look at your word this morning. Help us, Father, to grow. Help us, Father, to learn. Help us, Father, to become more like you. We ask that you would be with those that can't be here this morning. Ask that you would bless them in a special way. Lord, just be with them. Lord, we need you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we talk of being faithful where God has planted us, I brought a plant along this morning. So imagine with me 2-3 years ago before this plant was here. If I would be the gardener and I would go to plant a bulb in here, imagine what would have happened if I would take this bulb, put it in there, and the bulb would be like, I don't like to be in there, it's muddy, dirty, nobody can see me, I'm going to be down underground, I want to go somewhere I'm clean. Just decides to go somewhere else. I take another one. I put it down in there. This one's like, nobody can see me. I'm not going to be popular. I mean, I'm going to probably rot away in this wet dirt. I want to go somewhere else. And I just jump the fence, go somewhere else. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Have another one here. What happened if I'd plant this one? Nobody can see me. So this one's like, now I'm going to come up here where people can see me. I want to be popular. You know, this is how we are sometimes. when God brings hard and difficult things our way, we think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. We don't want to go through what God has for us. We don't want to get dirty. We don't want to get moldy. We don't want to be where other people can't see us. And so if I would take that, plant it in there, it would probably get moldy, probably die. Give it some sunshine, give it some water. In a couple weeks, that thing's going to start to sprout up through. And, you know, many times we miss opportunities. God brings difficult things our way. And we want to just jump the fence and go to greener pasture. But are we being faithful where God has planted us? That's the challenge I have this morning. So let's look at the life of Joseph. So the Bible doesn't say what all Joseph's dreams and goals were that he had, but Joseph was 17 years old. Who here is 17 years old? One? Oh, I thought we might have more. So 17 years old. Joseph was 17 when he got pulled away from his family. 17 years old, full of energy. His whole life was ahead of him. You know, Joseph had a lot going for him. He was his father's favorite son. And he pretty much had everything that he needed. He was pretty well off. His father had lots of cattle, lots of servants. And Joseph had it looked like he had a good life ahead of him. So let's take our Bibles out and let's turn to Genesis chapter 37. And let's just take a look at that. Genesis chapter 37. And we'll just start reading in verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably with him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and he said, What is this dream that thou dreamest? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee? And his brother envied him, but his father observed the sayings. So just imagine with me a little bit, Joseph, 17 years old. He was having these dreams about his brothers and his parents and the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. Like, I'm sure 17 years old, he was trying to figure out, like, what's going on here? Is this for real? Is this actually, is God trying to tell me something here? Is there some big plans for my life? And so one day, Jacob asked Joseph, Hey, could you go down, go over to Shechem and check up on your brothers and the sheep? And so Joseph's like, sure. So let's jump down into verse 18. Verse 18, we'll just butt in there. And when they saw him afar off, when they saw Joseph afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit. And we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him again to his father. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water. And they sat down to eat bread, and lifted up their eyes, and looked, and behold, a company of the Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Unreal. Unreal. How much Joseph have felt? 17 years old. One day he went to check up on his brothers and stripped him of everything he had, took him off into Egypt. You know, I'm not even sure if he knew the language or not. Many, many miles from home. No friends, no family. He had his whole life ahead of him, his whole life. Now he was there, his hopes, his dreams dashed to pieces. No hope. Yet he had one thing. What was that one thing? God was with him. God was with him. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning. You know, sometimes we have our life, we like to have our life all planned out. I say we have our life planned out. We have dreams and ambitions and goals. You know, when I was younger, I wanted to finish school, and then I get your driver's license and on up through and save up money for a house maybe someday and start dating. And you know, there we have this sort of subconscious dream that we have for our life. But I'd like to challenge us this morning. Sometimes that dream isn't God's plan for us. Sometimes God's plans are different. God's ways are different than our ways. And am I willing to be faithful to what God has called me to do? So God is with Joseph. As we look at being faithful where God has planted us, God was with Joseph. Let's turn to now to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, we'll start in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him an overseer in his house, and all that he had put into his hand. Now, I'd like for us to just stop and think for a minute. It says, the Lord was with Joseph. What did God do? What did Joseph do that God was with him? What did that look like? God was with Joseph. How did he get that? How did he get that it was said that God was with Joseph? How many believe here that God is with us this morning? Yeah, we all believe that God is here with us this morning. In fact, in Matthew 18, it says, where two or three are gathered, I will be there in their midst. Now, I'd like to take that a step farther. Is God with you this morning? Is God with me this morning? Can it be said of us, like it was of Joseph, God is with Brandon. God is with Mark. God is with Durkee. You know, it can be. It really can be. But sometimes we don't live in that reality. Sometimes I don't live in that reality that, you know, God is actually with us. We are the temple of the living God, and God is right beside us. And if God is actually with us, we can face anything. We can face those hard trials that come our way, those difficult things, those hard things that we have no way, we don't know how we're going to get around them. If God is with us, we can face those things. God gives us the courage to go on. You know, God was with Joseph. You could ask the question, so how can I be sure that God is with me? You know, yeah, we say that God is with us, but how can I be sure? Well, first of all, we need to be walking with God. We need to be walking with God. We need to have our sins washed away. Romans 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, when we repent and confess our sins, then Jesus can come and he can fill us with his Spirit. You know, God's not going to be with us if we have sin in our heart. If we have sin in our life, God's not going to be with us. But when we have a clean heart and we're filled with his Spirit, God is with us, and we just need to believe that God is with us, and he's here to help us in whatever we face, those hard, difficult, trying times that come. He's here to help us. Another verse, Psalms 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. If our heart's broken before God, if our heart's pliable before God, if we have that contrite spirit, that heart that's yearning for God to work in our life, if we're broken before God, God is nigh unto us. God is with us. And we can be assured, we can rest assured that God is with us if we have a broken and a contrite heart. Another verse. How can I be sure God is actually with me? 2 Corinthians, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow. Wow. God wants righteousness, and he doesn't have anything to do with idols. If our heart's righteous before God, God wants to come in. He wants to dwell in us. We are the temple of the living God. You know, if we're living righteous lives, we can rest assured that God is with us. God is with us, and we believe that. Let's read verse 17 and 18. It says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." God says, come out from among them, be separate, don't touch the unclean thing, and he'll be a father to us. Now just imagine me as a father. I love my children. God has a yearning and a longing for us. He wants to be with us. God with us. God was with Joseph. Let's look at another verse in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, "If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." If we want to be sure that God is with us, we love God and we keep his commandments. And he'll come in there and he'll make his abode with us. He'll be with us. He'll dwell with us. You know, sometimes we don't live in the reality that God is actually with us. I'd like to really impress that upon our hearts this morning. You know, we serve a big God. We serve the same God that turned the water into wine. We serve the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead. Is he big to you this morning? Is God big to you this morning? Do we make God big? Sometimes we put God in a small box. But let's make God big this morning. He's the God that parted the Red Sea. Children of Israel could walk through on dry ground. That's our God. And he wants to come and he wants to dwell with us. And he wants to be a real part of our life this morning. He wants to help us in those day-to-day things. Every day, everything that we face. He wants to be with us. So we have a natural tendency as humans to doubt God. And not always just believe that God is with us. So I have a little illustration here. Maybe Andre, do you want to come up and help me? Okay. So Andre, I'm going to give you this candle. And as long as you are holding the candle in your hand, here, turn around and face them. As long as you're holding the candle in your hand, I'll promise that I'll be with you. I'll watch out for you. You don't have to worry, okay? I'm going to blindfold you. How's that? Okay. So here, Andre, he can't see me, but I told him I'll be here with him as long as he holds the candle. So he trusts my words. He can hear me right now. But if I go silent, I told him I'll be with him. I told him I'll be with him. I told him as long as he holds this candle, I'll be with him. Now, if he drops that candle, if he does something else, I'm not promising to be with him. But this is how it is for us. As Christians, God has given us the keys. God has given us we know what we need to do to have God with us. He has said, repent, be born again, I'll fill you with my spirit. He said, the Lord is nigh unto those that are of a broken heart. He's close to us. He said, God dwells with the righteous. And so God tells us what we can do to have him right with us. And yet, in the middle of this, sometimes we can't see God. We can't hear God. Sometimes he speaks to us. And sometimes we can see what he does. And yet, but we doubt God. And God has told us what we need to do to believe him and have him with us. Thank you. So many times in our Christian life, we don't believe God for what he says, and we don't, okay, I don't. Maybe you all are probably different, but I don't live in the reality that God is with us, and God wants to help us in those small, everyday areas of our life. So, if we're in the middle of a storm, facing a difficult situation, are we making God the center of our life? Is he big to us? Is God big to me? There was a brother that challenged me here a couple of months ago. He said, don't ask God to be with you. He said, thank God for being with you. That was a new thought for me. Thank God for being with you. And I was like, wow, that's actually really good. Because if we're following God, God is with us. And he wants to have that intimate relationship with us. He wants to be there. He wants to lead us and guide us. So another thing, as we look at Joseph's life, another thing that stood out to me is Joseph's simple obedience. You know, it can be really easy when we're in the middle of a difficult trial, and we're not accomplishing maybe our goals or our dreams, the dreams that we had for our life. It can be really easy to get discouraged and lose hope and not put effort into serving God like we would otherwise. Joseph, imagine what it would have looked like if he would have just said, you know, my life is blown. All hope is gone. All hope is gone. Of ever having a good life again. I'm sold into Egypt. I've lost everything. And he would just given up. We wouldn't have the beautiful story of Joseph today and everything that he accomplished for God. Joseph continued to be faithful to God in the things that were set right before him. Not the things that were out beyond his reach. You know, sometimes we have these big hopes and these big dreams, but it wasn't the things that were out beyond his reach. Joseph was faithful in the things that God set before him to do. Let's look at now, turn to Genesis chapter 39. And we'll jump down into verse 4. And actually, let's start in verse 3. And his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put into his hand. So here, Joseph, sold into Egypt, came to Potiphar's house, and he served Potiphar. In fact, actually so much so that he made him overseer over his house. Now, if I think of getting somebody to oversee my house or to be maybe a manager or something, you know, you want to make that he's diligent. I want to know that he can actually be capable of doing his responsibilities. Joseph was faithful. He was faithful to God in the things that were set right in front of him. Joseph was upright. Let's jump on down into verse 7. Verse 7 says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, and saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out of there. Here again, Joseph was obedient to God. He was faithful to God. He didn't cross the line with Potiphar's wife. He could have been like, I'm in a far country. Things just aren't going good. I'm just gonna go do my thing. Nobody else will find out anyways. But he didn't. He was faithful to God. He didn't cross that line. He was diligent in the things that were right at his doorstep. Joseph served God by serving others. You know, we know how the story goes on then. Joseph ends up in jail, and I'm sure it seemed to him like there was no hope at all. No hope at all. Ripped away from his family, sold into Egypt, and then he was Potiphar's right-hand man, and now he gets shipped off to jail. Like, just total, you would have to feel like your life was just broken, in pieces, dashed, all your hopes and dreams dashed. And then he goes into the jail. And if we look down here in verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph. He was with Joseph again and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So we see here again, Joseph, wherever he goes, whether it was in Potiphar's house, in the jail, he continues to serve and be a blessing wherever he was. Now, there are two key things that I like to look at in the life of Joseph that really stand out to me. And it's actually, there's a couple of verses in Matthew, and I'd like for us to turn there. Two key things, two principles that Joseph had in his life that I think we can learn from. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Those two things are two key things that Joseph had, two core things that God is with Joseph. First of all, he loved God with all his heart, and God was with him. And that was the foundation for everything. And then second, loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, we get the first one pretty good. Loving God. Loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second one, it's a challenge. Challenge for me anyways. Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Who is my neighbor? Anybody? Who's my neighbor? That's the key right there. That's the key right there. Everybody. Everyone is my neighbor. You know, sometimes it's easy to just to be friendly and just to be nice to the people that we won't see again, and they don't have a huge impact on our life. But our neighbor is everyone. Can be our coworkers, can be that picky customer on the job that we're having a problem with, can be, you fill in the blanks, can be, come down to our family, our wife, our children. Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? For Joseph, I'm sure this was hard for Joseph. Really hard. How can you love someone that hurts you? How can you love someone that talks down on you? How can you love someone that has ill will toward you? How do you do that? It's only through God. It's only through God's grace and his strength in our hearts that we can have love for those people that hurt us. You know, if we can get a hold of the thing of loving our neighbor as ourselves, that goes a long ways. We can go a long ways with that. I want to thank you all. I want to take this moment here to thank you all for being a neighbor to us. I actually have a text message here of one of the brothers that was a real neighbor to me, and he was caring for me. A couple weeks ago, or actually this summer, we were sitting at home all by ourselves, and I got this text. Lord bless you today as you serve your family. I'm sure it's a sacrifice not being able to be at the camping. Praying for healing and a surrendered heart as you continue on your journey here. That just meant so much to me. Really did. Are we being those neighbors, those ones that help those along our way? You know, it's the little things in life that really mean a lot, that go a long ways. You know, some time ago, I was... I was at a family gathering, and I found myself in a conversation with this older gentleman there, very nice guy, and I heard a conversation happening across the room, and all of a sudden I was trying to wrap up my conversation with this guy so I could quickly go to the other conversation where it sounded more interesting. To my shame, Lord convicted me of that. Why didn't I just stay there? And he was enjoying our conversation. He was an older guy. I could have been there and I could have encouraged him. I could have spent more time with him, but I didn't. Simple obedience to the things that are set before us. Mark 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Are we ministering to those around us? Are we being faithful to the things, the situations that come our way? Maybe they're hard things that come our way. Are we being faithful to things that are set right in front of us? So a couple months ago, back when Jen was getting sick, there were about 2 weeks where I was staying home later in the mornings, just to help with breakfast and to help the girls get started for the day. And to my shame, there was a level of sort of a frustration that wanted to rise up in my heart. I was like, I need to get to work. There's things to do at work. And then one morning, I was like, this can't be. And I asked the Lord to come and help me, and I just let that thing go. And he came and he gave me a peace. And you know, helping my wife, that was the most important thing to do. And the Lord's blessing was in that. You know, the work was still there when I got home, or when I got to work. It was still there. Didn't run away. God's looking for simple obedience in the small things that he puts in our lives. So I was at a place one time, and there was this guy on a forklift. And there was this big stack of material sitting there. And he was on the forklift, and he was trying to get into this big stack. And like one look, and I saw that this is not going to work. There was another little stack right in front. And it was really comical. I was like, I just sort of nicely went up to him, and I was like, "Hey there, you might want to get this other stack that's in front first. And then you can get into the big stack." "Oh, okay, yeah, he'll do that." And it's sort of comical, but sometimes we like to do the big things for God. We like to get in there and we like to go for the big stack. We like to do the big things. But there's this little thing that's sitting here in the front that we need to pick up first. And it was a challenge for me. Am I taking care of the little things in my life? The little things that are in front of me to do and being faithful to God in those? The big things, they'll come soon enough. Hebrews 5, verse 8 says, "Though he were a son," Jesus, this is talking about Jesus, "though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." And if Jesus could learn obedience, I'm surprised that Jesus could learn obedience by the things that he suffered. But he did. So the hard things, the difficult things that come our way, Are we learning obedience through those things? Are we using those things to learn and to grow from? You know, as we continue to have that simple obedience, that simple trust, and we're committed to serving God no matter what, fruit comes out of our life. We grow. This plant is a lot bigger than this little bulb right here. But at the beginning, it didn't look like it was going to amount to much. But it's growing, casts some shade. It's a beautiful plant. As we look at the life of Joseph, you know, he was committed to simply serve God and be obedient to him wherever he went. You know, the Bible doesn't say how long Joseph was in jail. It could have been 8 to 12 years. And I'm sure many there were many times where it seemed where there wasn't any hope. But Joseph, he continued to serve God and to be faithful to him. And God was with him. He continued to do the things that were set right in front of him. He lost all hope and dream of maybe doing some big stuff. And he served God in the small things that were in front of him. And then, you know, God blessed him. God was with him, and he was able to help interpret the dream for Pharaoh. And we know the rest of the story, how God blessed Joseph, and he blessed his life. And he was able to help Pharaoh in getting food and getting grain for the 7 years of drought that came. So, God, we need to be faithful to God, regardless of what comes our way. You know, God was with Joseph during those hard times. God was with him. And sometimes when we don't feel like God is with us, that's actually when he's with us the most. But none of this would have happened if Joseph wouldn't have been faithful. Joseph wouldn't have been Pharaoh's right-hand man. He wouldn't have helped Pharaoh store away grain for the next 7 years. He wouldn't have been able to do all that if he wouldn't have been faithful up through the years. So let's be faithful where God has planted us and live in the reality that God is with us. And like Andre is here with the candle, God has told us how we can know that he can be with us. And let's live in that reality. And then live in simple obedience to God, obeying God in those little things that are set before us. Not always going for the big, high, and lofty things, but serving God in the little things that are in front of us. There's one verse that I'd, or there's one passage of scripture that I like to read yet. Psalms 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's be faithful to God.